Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Songguy Nation, QT and Songguy here on another Friday afternoon with you. Expecting our guest to call in momentarily. We have the elite athlete, Mike Orlando, scheduled. Phenomenal athlete based on the East Coast. While we're waiting to him, I guess I will go ahead and read the show notes. Tonight, WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana, as usual. NWL featuring Casey Carlisle, whom I love, in McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania. Stardom USA in Corvina, California. WPW in Bell Gardens, California. PWG in Jeffersonville, Indiana. NWA featuring Pacific Northwest's own Bad Blood in Texoma, Texas. SWF in Tullahoma, Tennessee. Tomorrow night, CPW in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. OVW in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. PGP in Havana, Illinois. ECWA in Woodbury Heights, New Jersey. NWA in Elizabethton, Tennessee. FWA in St. Petersburg, Florida. NSCW in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Pro Wrestling King in Bourbon, Indiana. NWA in Dyersburg, Tennessee. Wrestling for Cause in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And ARW tomorrow night in Lake Station, Indiana. QT, sounds like a big week for independent pro wrestling.
It is a big week for independent pro wrestling, but none bigger than last week when we saw Northwest legend Tex Thompson take off his boots for the final time in the ring at Blue Collar Wrestling at the North Portland Eagles.
You never say never in this business, but at least for right now, Tex Thompson deciding to call it a career, took off the boots, like you said, in the ceremonial showing that he was wrapping up his career. Been a few retirements already this year in professional wrestling here in the Northwest.
That's true, Sunday, and I was hoping beyond hope that Tex Thompson would pick me to be his official manager for that last match. Yes.
He, in fact, did not. He teamed with Chaz Taylor and Tony Stetson. When Tony Stetson became injured and no longer able to compete, the surprising return of the also retired Gresham Savior Buddy Highway.
Yes, is there any news on the medical condition of Tony Stetson?
I have not gotten any reports, but he appeared to be pretty seriously hurt, as was the faction's Tommy Celsius, who left the ring on a stretcher. So lots of serious physical action taking place at NWA Blue Collar this past Sunday.
Yes, Sunday, and I saw Tommy Celsius' leg whip at a very odd angle against the bottom ropes. What I'm going to do now is look on Facebook and see if I can see the status of Tommy Celsius, a man whose Fahrenheit keeps rising, so to speak. Yes.
All right, and while you do that, I believe our guest has joined us. Do we have Mr. Orlando with us?
I am here. Can you hear me?
We can.
Well, awesome. Perfect.
Thank you very much for taking time today to be with us on our show. We're going to start things off with our traditional first-timers question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
That's a trick question. Actually, everything. I've actually followed wrestling since I was a child, probably since about 5 years old, and it was just something that was around me. My family kind of watched it, I guess, sporadically, and I picked it up instantly and was entertained and never let it go. So I played sports growing up just to be able to become an athlete so I could wrestle myself. So it really became something I inherited as a child.
What type of background did you have once you got into wrestling training that would have prepared you for a career in professional wrestling?
I actually played 4 years of high school and high school football and wrestling as well, and was a letterer in that for 3 years for both on varsity, and was pretty skilled at both, and then continued my collegiate career with football for another 5 years, and won a division championship, and was the captain of my team, and was an offensive lineman starter for 4 out of those 5 years as well. And basically, I don't watch football. I don't watch any type of sports. I don't have anything to do with sports, which is the funniest thing when it comes to being the elite athlete, because I only played sports to learn how to be bigger, faster, stronger, so I could be these superstars and these super heroes that I was watching on TV as a kid, because I knew it wasn't going to happen overnight. So I decided to play those sports and become those, if you want to call them, gimmicks in college. So I learned how to become the character I am now, which in reality is myself, just however you want to view it that day, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Now, being the elite athlete, I'm sure that diet and training are very important. What's your typical diet and training regimen for a given week?
The training is more so my important thing. The dieting gets hard because so much traveling with wrestling, it's hard to have the proper meals all the time. But, I mean, like, the best I have an advisor with me, this guy named Phil Imbriano. Does a lot of my graphic work, and he's a bodybuilder himself. And he does his best to maintain my diet as best as he could, but there's times we have to eat, you know, garbage on the road because we're, you know, traveling from city to city to get to, you know, the next match. But typically, I train 6 out of 7 days a week. I usually try to take Sunday off. That includes in the gym for an hour and a half to 2.5 hours, and then I go to training at night, which are 3 different places a week. And I basically consistently keep that up until Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which I actually work matches places, and then continue to do gyms sessions between that as well, by taking Sunday off as my rest day. But as far as the diet goes, it's, you know, I wish I could say I had a better diet going for me, because I probably would have been signed by now if my body was better. But, I mean, it's to be the elite athlete, it's more so just a mental thing and knowing how to get things done through experience.
Years ago in the original ECW, Shane Douglas came into ECW similar to what the elite athlete is. He proclaimed himself the best athlete and proclaimed himself superior to all the other mainstream professional athletes. Were you basing yourself a little bit on what Shane Douglas had done, either by design or just subconsciously?
Well, I can give you a huge, huge idea. Okay, ready? My trainer, the guy who trained me, is the former ECW official Jim Molyneux from All Time Wrestling. So that gives you a little idea of who might have helped me with that character and how to tweak it a little. Jim is a great help to my entire career working with him. And he had a lot of what I do is based off of a little bit of Shane Douglas, the little things from back in the day, the franchise as well. As time went on, I kind of took bits and pieces of that, but the character as a whole became myself, and somebody I learned how to turn on and off, but never completely off, just kind of have a little lever and tweak what I'm doing here and there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. One of the
but
people
that's
awesome.
I'm really happy you acknowledge that, though. I'm sorry. Continue.
I'm glad I was able to pick that up. One of the people that you've wrestled in your career is Tito Santana. He was one of the very first people in the ring at the first ever WrestleMania. He's had a storied career going back 35 years, very well decorated. What was it like getting into the ring with someone that has accomplished so much and has contributed so much to the history of professional wrestling?
It was awesome. It was a dream come true. I actually loved him as well as a child, and it was awesome to do that because, you know, you think, okay, I'm wrestling Tito Santana. You don't know what to expect. And it's like, you know, you think, okay, he's been out of the business for a while now. No, like, you know, what am I going to really get myself into here? So the place got packed. There was at least 400 to 500 people there for what it was, and that was crazy. We were the main event, and Tito walked in the locker room. He was still a gigantic man. He was a gigantic man that walked in, and he was still Tito Santana, 100%. He told us exactly what we were doing, how it was going down. It was exciting, and it was perfectly executed. So to go out there, it was like a magic show. It was from beginning to end. Everything went smoothly, and everybody was entertained by the little things that made the entire show great. And it was something that you learned so much from because we didn't have to do any crazy spots to get everybody's character and the entire story of the match across. I played the disrespectful kid that thinks he should be signed, and Tito played the legend that, you know, is not going to be disrespected, so to say. And the story just played off great. And it's just, you live and you learn so much from these guys around you. And it's so much of the time, it's from failure. People tell you their failure stories, but to see someone out there with so much success and then to learn from it, it's just something you can't pay to learn. You know what I mean? It's just something you have to go through and learn yourself. So it was amazing.
At this time, my co-host QT is standing by. I know that he has some questions, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
Okay, perfect.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Mike,
great.
I saw your YouTube video entitled Matt McIntosh versus Mike Orlando, and it showed where you were wrestling in a very spacious, well-lit room. This room had floor-to-ceiling, wood-paneled walls, I'm guessing either hardwoods, oak, or walnut. As you know, Mike, oak and walnut are hardwoods, and their trees shed their leaves in the fall and early winter. That's what this room had, dark wood. That their room had dark wood and at least 8 large overhead chandeliers putting out an immense amount of light. This may have been the best lit wrestling venue ever, and the amount of light may have bordered on overkill. Do you recall where this match took place?
I want to say maybe in Paramus, New Jersey, maybe in the Elks Lodge. I think that was one of the chandeliers on the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
but there is a beautiful, I don't know if you've ever heard of the venue, the Sanctuary in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. It's one of the most beautiful venues as well. A couple of clips were from that venue as well, but there's no wood panels there. It's an old church that was bought that was turned into like a Hollywood set / wrestling studio, and it's just incredible. But the one you were talking about, I believe, is the Elks Lodge in Paramus, and that actually comes great on video. They do a TV taping there as well.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, I mentioned the hardwoods, oak, and walnut. In the Northwest, you have the softwood trees that bear needles, like the Douglas fir and western red cedar. Loggers used to be a tough bunch in the early part of the last century because they had to fell the trees by axe and saw. Did you used to or currently incorporate the felling of trees by axe and non-mechanical saw as part of your physical fitness training because of the intensity?
In college, yes, actually. Yeah, we did do things like that. We did sledgehammers and axes into wood. You know, the old school lumberjack training that we would have to do to accomplish that. But I mean, that was something I did probably at like 19 and 20. As I got older, my body would actually hurt from all that. And the more constant I had football, I didn't have a chance to really, you know, recover from very much. So I kind of stopped that regimen as I got older. But yeah, I did do that at one point. And funny you ask, because I actually loved that workout back in my college days.
Yes, it's even better than a shake weight. Yes. And you know what? I saw some old football clips of you. You wore number 69, and you were playing at right offensive guard at Keene University.
Correct. Yep. That was I played that in my senior year. That was my number 69. I wore 75 for the other 4 years at Keene. My senior year, I actually got hurt the season before that and lost my leg and didn't walk for almost a year. So when I came back, it was whole new me, whole new story. So I tried to, you know, change up the whole gimmick, as you will, as a football player, and change my number as well. Kind of created the elite athlete in the process.
Now, is Keene University a Division III school?
Yes, they're Division III, but we challenge all Division I and AA schools. We played all teams from Texas, Division AA teams. The only Division III schools that we actually did play were the couple that were in our conference, which are about five or six. I believe with the success they're having this year, they're going to get bumped up a division by next year. But at the time, yes, we were a Division III school.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. Well, Mike, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what a pancake block is? I think I saw you in your football highlights pancake block someone.
That's it's basically just it's stopping someone in their tracks right when they get to you and driving them backwards right through the floor. And it's one of the best feelings in the world, the pancake block in football, because you literally get in on somebody's chest with your hands, and as you're running your feet, you can feel this person toppling over and getting tumbled backwards. So probably one of the best feelings in the world.
Yeah, don't they topple over backwards flat on their back?
Yeah, absolutely. Flat right on the back, and you roll over them like a flat like a pancake.
Oh, all right. You know, Tony Mandarich, the number one pick of the Green Bay Packers back in 89, used to do that in college.
Absolutely, yeah. They loved it. They used to get the stickers on their helmet afterwards, too. The little stickers of a stack of pancakes.
Yes. Yes. Oh, okay. All right, well, Mike, I also saw your YouTube video called The God King versus the Elite Athlete. In this video, you carried a golf bag to the ring, and it contained a hockey stick as well as golf clubs. This reminded me of multi-sport star and wrestler Mr. Perfect Curt Hennig. My question is, did you play both hockey and golf in high school and then maybe a little bit of golf and hockey at a community college?
Growing up, I played a lot of hockey. Wasn't the greatest at it. Wasn't bad, but wasn't the multi-star at it, if you will. And then basically, I didn't really golf too much. The appearance I'm going with that is if you're a comic nerd, I'm the biggest nerd of them all. And if you look into it, I'm actually doing a little bit of a nod to my boy Casey Jones from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I got the hockey mask in the bag with all the weaponry in it, ready to go. Hockey was a sport of mine that I did play, but the golf bag itself was something that I kind of took the idea and tweaked it of my own. Made the mask was a paintball mask that I put a football attachment to it to make it more of a football helmet, just to be different than everybody else. I don't want a traditional football helmet because I want to be seen than more than just a football player, because I'm much more than just a football player.
Wow, all right. Okay, now speaking of mediocre hockey players and that hockey stick also that you carried in your golf bag on your way to the ring to wrestle with the God King, were you a big fan of the movie Happy Gilmore with Adam Sandler?
Absolutely. Loved it.
Did you like the scene where he takes the cute golf worker that works behind the scenes to the hockey rink and they skate to Lionel Richie's My Endless Love?
And then my man still shaving the ice for him in the middle of the night. It's hysterical.
Now, if someone paid you $10,000, would you skate with the God King and grasp hands in the spotlight, Whirl the God King wore a daring low-cut sequined outfit, and you skated to Lionel Richie's Endless Love, and would you post this on YouTube?
Absolutely not. Vince McMahon will never want me around him, and that's okay. Atu is a great guy, but I don't know if I could really dance with him. I'll fight him in the hockey rink at any time, but dancing.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay. Well, the God King Atu bore a striking physical resemblance to former WWF superstar and 1970s Portland wrestler Billy Jack Haynes, or as Bobby the Brain used to call him, Billy Jerk Haynes. My question is, were you a big fan of Billy Jack's?
No, not so much. Bobby the Brain. I love Bobby the Brain. But no, not too much.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't really, that kind of wrestling, I mean, it's not that I'd never watched it. It's just that I haven't watched it in so long that it's just so much wrestling now where it's modernized and you have to adjust to what society wants to see, that you're studying so much more common new wrestling that you've not forgotten about the old wrestling. It's just that it's almost a blur to what society wants now, because wrestling has changed so much. And I mean, it's really, it's a blessing, but it's also a downfall in its own. Hence why, I mean, Bobby the Brain was somebody I take a lot after. My quickness, my smarts, remarks that I can give really quick, a lot of my one-liners I've taken from Bobby, because that's what wrestling is. It's knowing what to take, how to take it, and how to use it. Call it a thief, but I mean, everybody improvise. That's what this job is about, you know what I mean?
Well, that might be a wise decision for you not to skate with a God King and his low-cut sequined outfit, because I saw you had a WWE Tough Enough tryout recently.
Yes. I was one of the contenders for a while on that show, and I had done some work with them for that show, unfortunately. But I guess, actually, I'm going to say this now as the elite athlete. Fortunately, I did not get picked because I was not a fan of that show or anything that they did use. It was what it was. I don't look at it as a reality. I mean, a wrestling show, I look at it as a reality show. I don't have any hate toward the WWE. It was just, you know, a lot of hype toward using wrestlers, and then all of us wrestlers were canned for the stars, to say the least, that they did have. But fortunately, this Sunday, I'm actually getting my second time in front of the WWE. They're going to be at Evolve Wrestling with Sami Zayn, and I get to be there this Sunday. I'll be wrestling in a match. And that's my second shot in front of them, to say the least. I'm excited about that. A lot more than a Tough Enough one, to be honest.
Wow, not the second shot. Very good. I hope you do well. Have
you
ever met Shane O'Mac?
Say this again?
Have you ever met Shane O'Mac?
Oh, no. I wish. That'd be awesome. Mr. Blaze, but never Shane.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mike, at the 5 minute and 45 second mark in your YouTube video against the God King, Atu, the announcer said the match had a 1 hour time limit. This is even longer than the uncut version of Iron Butterfly's psychedelic anthem, Inagata Davida. My question is, would you have considered it a career highlight and triumph if you had wrestled the God King to a 1 hour draw?
Yes. We're going to get there. We're absolutely going to get there. That last match ended with a little bit of an interference. And I feel like that was something that, you know, kind of got screwed out of. And I'm the quote-unquote bad guy of the sanctuary. So for the bad guy to have to get screwed against the God King, it doesn't say very much against him. So I guess I'm going to get my second shot against him and take him on again. And, I mean, we could do a one-hour time limit, or we could have no time limit at all. I'll go with him all day because, I mean, he might not go down, but I don't go down either. I mean, it was a hell of a match, but he needs to go again with me and see what goes on. I mean, I already debuted, sorry about my car making a sound, I already debuted a new title to compete with the God King. And I debuted it at the last show. And basically, I call myself a champion as well because of that match. I don't feel like I lost. Do not feel like I lost that match, truly. And that's why I challenge him at any time and any place to go through it again, which I believe the next show, which is the first Friday of next month, you will see Atsu versus Mike Orlando again.
Wow, fantastic. I look forward to that, yes. Now, Mike,
absolutely.
I mentioned Iron Butterfly's psychedelic anthem, Anagata De Vita. There's a little bit of history behind that title. When they were in the recording studio recording that song, the lead singer had drank a gallon of red wine, and he had slurred his words. Inagata De Vita was supposed to have been in the Garden of Eden. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I just thought I'd pass that on to you.
No, that's interesting. I love interesting stuff like that. I could talk about that stuff all day. That's interesting.
Cool. Okay, well, do you consider yourself a musical historian yourself?
I wish I could say yes. I mean, I've been so limited with music because I was a weird kid growing up, and I'll be the first one to admit it. I loved wrestling. I mean, I just was living my wrestling world at all times, and I mean, Nirvana, 90s, that was my thing. I love my Nirvana. And I was just like this little punk kid. I was a fat little boy, didn't really play sports till I got older, so kind of kept to myself. So music itself, I don't know too much about. I mean, even the modern music that plays today, I'm more into, you know, the old school Nirvana, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and, you know, Linkin Park and Biscuit thing. And everybody still looks at me like, oh, look at this nut job. And I mean, it's cool. I accept it for what it is at this point. I love some music, not all music, as weird as that might sound to most people.
Well, how about the Ramones? Were you a big fan of the Ramones and their bass player?
A little bit Gorillaz, more the Gorillaz.
Okay, the Gorillaz, okay. How about Limp Bizkit?
Yes, absolutely, love them. Anybody that related to wrestling, because that was my little world. So I would pick up little bits and pieces of that.
Have you ever suggested to the God King that he rename himself Limp Bizkit?
He wouldn't even respond to me.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, now, Mike, if you stop the video at precisely the 7:59 mark, you can see directly above your head what appears to be a press box. In this press box, bathed in an eerie phosphorescent green glow, is a person who is watching the match. I'd say this press box is 13 feet up in the air. Was this the Sanctuary Wrestling Commissioner?
Yes, sir. That's John Trotsky. That's the guy I've been fighting for months, trying to take over that place. And kind of got my way. I got my title match, created my own title. And Trotsky is, you know, and I don't even want to say shoot things. I mean, storyline. He's one of my best friends, and he is one of the smartest men in wrestling I've ever met. And, yes, that's the commissioner of the Sanctuary. He watched over every match. He gives you a good review of everything, tells you what you did right, what you did wrong, how you can get better. And that's not any charge to you. He still pays you for your match. You have a beautiful setting, a beautiful storyline. And it gives you something to wrestle for, gives you meaning, and gives you a review, a video, beautiful HD quality. You get photos that look like wedding quality photos, and you just get the whole package with him. And you don't get that everywhere you go at wrestling. You learn that as you go on. And to have somebody like that in my life is a blessing. So John, yes, the commissioner of the Sanctuary, is the man. You can find him at any time. His name's Supremely Great back in the day. He goes by John Patrick Trotsky on Facebook now. If anybody has any wrestling questions, they should hit him up because he has more advice than you can imagine, and he can help everybody with everything because we can all get better at the end of the day.
Wow. Hey,
I
thought
he had
written all over for him. Do you think he would like a Turnbuckle Turmoil interview in the new year?
Oh, 100%. He loved these. He absolutely loved me. He'll be sharing this, I'm sure, right after this gets posted.
Oh, okay.
He loved the stuff.
Wow, that's something that we'll have to follow up on, yes. Okay. All right.
100%.
Well, Mike, at the 1542 mark, you bounced off the ropes and hit the God King with a running shoulder block. The only effect it had on him was it caused him to take one step backwards. He had absorbed all your speed like a shop absorber protecting a Prius from an I-5 pothole.
Oh, boy.
He then stuck out his tongue at you like the bass player of Kiss, Gene Simmons.
There we go.
My question to you is, are you a big fan of Gene Simmons and his written song, The Plaster Caster?
Not after Archie stuck his nasty tongue out at me like that. But
yes.
Gene Simmons is the man. Gene Simmons will always be the man. But yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Do you know what the song Plaster Caster is about?
No, I do not.
Oh, all right. Well, that's your homework assignment, to look up exactly what the lyrics to that song is.
You got
and
it.
Why
I'll post it
Gene
online.
Simmons wrote it. Yes.
You got it. I'll do it and I'll post it online, tagging it.
Okay. All right. Well, Mike, after you ran into him again at the 16-minute mark, he put you down and you came up holding your left shoulder. You then asked the referee to feel your shoulder, which he did, and after several pats, he found no breaks or contusions. My question is, when he was patting you down, I noticed that your left arm was tattoo-free, but your right arm was not. Can you tell us about the ink done on your right arm?
Absolutely. I met Gerald Briscoe at a tryout. We won't even call it a tryout. We'll call it a little look by Gerald Briscoe. He came to watch me wrestle a couple of years back in 2012. And I was going through my awkward phase. I'm only 24 years old, so I was probably about 21, maybe, I guess, at the time, maybe a little younger, 20, probably. And I was very awkward still. And I was in college figuring out who I was, and I had bleach blonde hair, faux hawk, and was from the beach, and was called the Smasher Mike Orlando. I had no idea who I was. And he did not care what I was doing out there, or who I was, or what my character was. The only thing he said to me was, all I had on my arm were these miserable Joker cards. And the only thing he said to me was, what, did you run out of money? Because my arm wasn't completely filled out. So he told me that WWE looks at production, hence why Randy Orton has full arms of sleeves, tattoos, and things like that, because it looks nicer. It's more visual to the eye. It's more appealing. When you have one random tattoo slapped in the middle of your arm, they're like, what does that mean to you? You know what I mean? It's a big question. It's just like you ran out of money at your tattoo artist type of deal. So ended up getting a couple more tattoos, and I saw him again. He said, okay, looks good, but you should finish it off. Meanwhile, I had no idea what finishing off meant, so I completely went my entire arm. Finished it off with a bunch of things I wanted, went nuts with it, and I never saw Gerald Briscoe since that day. However, I do absolutely love my tattoos on one arm, but will not tattoo anywhere else on my body because of the fact that I think in the back of my head, if I do not have it completely filled out, it won't look right, and I don't want anywhere else filled out because they hurt, they're a lot of money. They're beautiful, but I'm good. I have enough on one arm. So I stuck to one. I'm one and done, and it's over. But one day I'll probably get another one somewhere, but let's not talk about that.
Wow, all right.
Yep.
Okay, very, very well done. Okay, all right. Well, Mike, at the 1954 part of the match, you slammed God King down on the mat with great force and proceeded to get a one count on your pin attempt. If you freeze the video at exactly the 20-minute and 3-second mark, you can see the referee holding up a single finger to indicate the one count. However, the 20:03 mark shows that the ref appears to be clearly holding up his middle finger, which he has his other fingers tucked. In English terms, he appears to be flipping you the bird. Is that why a few seconds later you kicked him in the jaw, knocking him temporarily out of the match?
He just was bothering me the whole match. He was looking at me funny. Weird looking guy. I had to finally get him. Also frustration. Who doesn't stay down? You know what I mean? If you can't beat him, sometimes you got to beat everybody else. Get yourself feeling better about everything. So I gave the jaw of the referee a nice little clock. Felt a little bit better about the whole situation out there. And I mean, I think he did flip me the bird a little bit, though. Not the nicest fellow in the world.
Yes, I encourage all our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners to freeze your video with a God King at the 2003 mark and see that middle digit protruding. Yes. Well, Mike, after temporarily knocking the ref senseless, you grabbed a metal bat from beyond the ring ropes, but someone came down the ramp that led to the ring and stood on the apron.
Jason King.
Who was this?
This was Jason King. Jason King is one of John Trotsky's little buddies that don't want to see me succeed in this business, so he came to the ring to try to interrupt everything and then disrupted everything, giving Ozzy the big win in the end anyway.
I was wondering who that was, yes. Okay. All right, well, Mike, you recently wrestled high-flying Ed Padrino, who is supposedly from Mexico, at the War of the Nations, La Boom. Can you tell us about your victory over him in front of a pro-Mexican crowd and your victory in under 3 minutes and the melee that followed?
It was excellent, actually. La Boom was crazy to be, against all these people that didn't want to see America win and wrestle against Mexico. And it was insane. We had to be escorted out the building. I never had that many people to try to attack me or throw things in the ring at me. But speaking of heat, the king of heat right now just pulled up next to me in the parking lot. We're about to wrestle on the show. And I don't know if you ever heard of Dan the Man. Dan the Man just pulled up next to me, and I wanted to give him a couple seconds, if that's cool. Give a little shout-out on here. Is that all right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, put Dan the
Absolutely.
Man on.
Here he is.
Hey, how you doing? This is Dan the Man, and my upcoming shows, you can see me in Clark, New Jersey, November 23rd, for NEW Wrestling. You'll see Dan the Man in action along with Team Shazam. See you there.
Wow.
Thank you
right.
so much for that. Appreciate that.
All right. Well, Mike, can you tell us about the immense amount of pain that you put Davey Boy Smith's left leg in Halifax, Nova Scotia?
That was awesome. That was awesome. That was great, wasn't it? That was an awesome way to start that match. His knee was bummed out. The ring wasn't working too well. The ropes were all given out, so I did the most elite thing I could do. You know what I mean? Before the bell started, gave him a nice big bang to his leg, took his leg out real quick, and then I almost defeated, the British Bulldog's son. And it was an excellent, excellent match that, he got the upper hand, by cheating. He pulled my hair. Sorry, he pulled my hair. And made sure he couldn't walk right the rest of the night, though, so I don't know who the real winner of that match was.
Nice. Now, was Matilda the Bulldog at ringside?
Just the jacket. He still calls it Matilda, though.
Oh, all right. Well, are there any plans for you in the future to adopt a greyhound and name him the Elite Mutt and have him sit at ringside for your matches?
I have a chihuahua, believe it or not. My chihuahua is my dog. He's my man. I don't need any other mutt but the little mutt I have now. I don't bring him to the ring. He would probably bite somebody's face off if I did so. So I can't do that. But I do have a chihuahua, big man like me. If you don't like that, anybody doesn't like to have a chihuahua, they can come get a big boot for me on the way in. And I do love my chihuahua. He's my little elite dog. His name is Bruno.
Oh, Bruno. Okay.
That's
All
it.
All right. Very nice. Okay. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what color Bruno is?
He's a black dog with a white stomach, one of the most adorable dogs in the world. Looks like a mix between a Jack Russell Terrier and a Chihuahua. You can find pictures of him on my Facebook as well.
Oh, wow. All right. We'll have to look that up. Yes. All right. Well, Mike, we here on Turnbuckle Turmoil play a game called Word Association. Picture yourself going to the psychiatrist's office, and the psychiatrist asks you to name the first thing that pops into your mind when given a subject matter. Are you ready to play Word Association?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to name a couple of wrestlers, and you say the first thing that pops into your head. How about Chris Envy?
The man. Smart.
Okay. How about Rude Boy Riley?
Genius. Going to be right next to me when we make it. Good friend as well.
Okay. How about Tony Wilson, old-time wrestling interviewer?
Amazing. Beautiful. She's working hard every single day. Amazing.
Yes, I just sent a friend request to her. Yes.
She's awesome.
All right, how about
absolutely.
How about Jason King?
Rough. Awesome. Rough. In a good way. Tough and rough.
Okay, I'm going to mark down tough and rough. Very nice. Okay. How about Robbie Rebel?
Stranger. I don't know him too well. I don't see him enough around me. I was on a show with him recently, but I don't know him yet too well. We'll see if I can learn more about him.
Okay, I'm going to put Mysterious Stranger. Very good.
Yeah, Mysterious. Okay. There you go. That's a good one. I like that. Mysterious.
All right. How about Alpha Halverson?
Good. Very good.
Okay. How about Bobby Dream?
Smart. Very intelligent. Very intelligent guy.
Okay. Tommy Mayer.
Tony Myers?
Meyer.
Yeah, Tony Meyer. Great. Smart individual. Now veteran.
Okay. All right. Veteran. Okay. How about John Trotsky?
Awesome friend. Best friend. Knowledgeable.
Okay. How about Chuck Deep?
Performer. Very good entertainer.
Okay.
A lot of character.
Really good. Okay. How about Matt McIntosh?
Friend. Close friend. Excellent. You can put him with Rude Boy Riley. Going to make it with us all together.
All right. Okay. Well, that concludes Word Association. You did very well, and you were declared sane.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Mike, say hello to the commissioner. We hope to be in contact, hopefully for a future interview. And hopefully
absolutely.
We can have you back on in the new year. And most importantly, good luck with your homework assignment. The plaster caster.
You got it.
And at this time, I'm
going to
turn it back. What's that?
It was great talking to you. Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Back to you, Sandai. Yes, very good.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mike, as you're probably aware, whenever you start traveling for wrestling, every state is different. Some states have commissions. Some states have no commission. The different commissions are varied as far as how strict they are and what regulations there are. What are your thoughts on the various commissions? And do you think that there's something that's important to the world of independent professional wrestling today?
See, this is where I stay the wrestler. You know what I mean? I want to just be the wrestler and not even – see, my word on that is so vague, because if you play a wrestler and, you know, I want the commission to get you out. You know what I mean? I want them to filter out the guys that don't belong. But who am I to say who belongs and who doesn't belong? You know what I mean? At the same time, that's my biggest issue. So it's like I'm in the middle with it. I don't want to have too much strict regulations with it, because it's just going to cause problems, and nobody needs problems when we're all trying to make it. Because the thing is, we got to stop fighting each other. Everybody fighting each other is stupid. You know, WWE can watch somebody that walks to the front door, never wrestled before, make him the WWE champion if they want to. You know what I mean? It has nothing to do with competition with each other. So at the end of the day, it's really I want the commission to do what's best for business, as corny as that might sound, and find out the best way to regulate wrestling in the most efficient way, whether it's licenses or, you know, better evaluations through doctors and things like that. I want them to take whatever charge they have to, but at the same time, I want it to be a little laid back where we don't have to make this like an ongoing activity where it's always an issue to get a match. You know what I'm trying to say? So it's like very up in the air with me on that.
Very well said.
Like you said, they vary from state to state. Some states don't care, and then you have some states that lock down right on you. You don't even know what to prepare for. They want to see documentation, and you got to pay $60 to go get your documentation. So it's, you know, it's a hassle sometimes.
Definitely so, and I don't know how the guys at WWE have to handle all that when they got literally 50 different states to deal with and
you know
have
I mean?
To
it's
keep
ridiculous.
Up on every license.
It's ridiculous, you know, and that's why at the same time it's like, but then we're all going to complain about certain people being involved. So it's like you want your cake and you want to eat it too. You know what I mean? It's a mess.
Absolutely. Looking at the current landscape on shows where you appear right now, in your opinion, who has the best ring gear going today?
Me. You got to say me. I'm the elite athlete. I can't tell you anybody else. You know what I mean? I got the most elite gear. It's all made by me.
So you were actually a gear maker as well.
No. Just my ideas. Just my concepts. I take the football pads I wore in college and I bring them to somebody to make them wrestling gear with them. And, you know, different variations, obviously. But honestly, though, I love my gear. But if I'm going to go throw somebody out there for the nicest gear out there in independent wrestling, let's go with... Matt McIntosh. There you go. We brought him up. His gear is awesome. His gear is incredible. It looks awesome. He has whoever makes it does it great. Shout out to that person. There you go. Matt. Biggest pop for him because I haven't spoken to him in 2 months. So if he ever hears this, hey Matt.
One of the most underrated aspects in professional wrestling, I think, is the ring announcer. They are the face of the company for any given promotion. They're who the fans look to get their information on upcoming events, what's going on with the show they're currently watching.
Right.
And a lot of promoters sadly don't value the position and they'll just send anyone out there to do it when they're actually sending just random people to be the face of their company. That
right,
have no idea what to do once they grab that microphone. Who are some of the better ring announcers out there that you've seen that promoters should look at to book on their shows?
The Sanctuary has a great ring announcer. His name is James Titus. He goes by, I believe his gimmick name is... I don't even remember what they call him at the Sanctuary. His name is James Titus on Facebook. He's a great ring announcer. Great face of the company. Great guy that talks awesome. Absolutely love him. Then we got Randy Carver, who runs Limitless Wrestling. Randy Carver's a great face of wrestling and independently. There's a shout to him. Let's see. I think Frosty, when he does his ring announcing, I think he's excellent. He's a great face of his company as well. But I know what you mean. There's a lot of guys that throw somebody out there. It just looks ridiculous. And it's supposed to be a representation of what you represent. So if you have somebody represent you that looks like garbage, then your show is garbage. You know what I mean? And it's a perception's reality. You know?
Yeah, I hate when promoters say, hey, why don't you just go out and ring announce 2 minutes before the show?
Ridiculous, man. But, you know, I don't want to cut you guys off short, but I have to get inside the building for a 7 o'clock show for ECPW tonight in Fort Monmouth. They actually have a show going on here. And I'm getting mean looks from Gino Caruso over there to get in the door.
Well, we don't want to heat with Gino Caruso, so if there's any last things you want to plug or promote, go right ahead.
Yes, at The Big Orlando on Facebook and Twitter, where I will be sharing the hell out of this video and everything that we can find to spread the word. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/EliteOrlando. My website is www.therealeliteathlete.com. Professionalism matters, so any professional wrestlers out there that don't have anything like these things going, then don't call yourself a professional wrestler. There's a shot right to you. And if you go on Twitter, gave you Instagram, yeah, other than that, there we are. I do reply to all my fan messages, and if you want to book me, I am a great wrestler to book on all of your shows. So check me out, YouTube me, Mike Orlando Wrestling should be the first result you find.
All right, well, Mr. Orlando, thank you very much for being on here with us today. Bump safely tonight, and best of luck as you continue with your career.
Absolutely. I'm going to give a call back. I would love to give a call back and finish the entire conversation. I was enjoying the hell out of it until I just got the mean look from him.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you back in the future, and be careful out there tonight, and we'll talk to you soon for sure.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Take care.
Hey, no problem.
Right.
Yes.
Well,
take care, guys.
Fans,
thank
if you get the opportunity, the elite athlete Mike Orlando, great, great talent. Buy a ticket. Check him out. YouTube him. Definitely very, very entertaining. You should learn more about him. Support him as he continues to rise in the ranks of independent pro wrestling. But QT, do you have an update for us on one Tommy Celsius?
No, I don't have a Tommy Celsius update. I got to tell you, that's a main event with Bad Blood, Tommy Celsius, and Gregor Petrov going up against Chaz Taylor, Tex Thompson, and Tony Stetson. I'd say the extracurricular activity started even before the match. A little bit of a confrontation between a fan and Bad Blood, even before he entered the ring.
I heard something about that. You never know what the faction's going to do.
Well, this had security running, and not because some masked individual from the plains of Oaxaca was running around the ring. This was kind of legitimate. Security had a much bigger problem than any masked individual. That's what I'm getting at. And this man was escorted from BCW. Yes.
Do you think he's maybe a cousin of this masked man from the plains of Oaxaca?
Oh, no. This masked man, Lucha Oaxaca persona, was much more handsomer. Yes. Was much more charismatic.
How can you tell he's much more handsomer if he wears a mask?
Well, he exuded charisma. Plus, he had the sense not to get up in Bad Blood's face. Yes.
Now, do you think that this masked individual might at some point attempt to steal the boots right off of Bad Blood?
Well, there's always that possibility. He was eyeing Tex Thompson's boots pretty closely. Yes.
Did the thought of what Bad Blood did earlier sway him to not mess with the boots of Tex Thompson? Is that what you're getting at?
Oh, it temporarily crossed his mind, yes. Temporarily. Yes.
Well, Bad Blood may have done his job then. QT, on that show, you may have noticed Paul Moonshine sporting a completely different look. Did you get a chance to see the Sign of the Times episode 202, the Paul edition?
No, I haven't, and if you would send that to me, I'd do a real in-depth analysis of that, yes.
Now, I will do that. You'll be surprised to learn in that video, apparently Paul Moonshine planning a class action lawsuit for all sports entertainers who lost their hair illegally during wrestling matches.
Ooh, class action lawsuit. That's kind of like Zarelta when they go on TV and have class action lawsuits with vaginal bleeding and stuff. and mesh. Yes.
Are you saying you're a part of that lawsuit?
Pelvic mesh. No, I'm not, but I know some people that are seeking damages. Yes.
All right. Well, Paul's seeking damages for the loss of his hair when it was taken from him illegally. His nephew legally won the match with Zach Winters. It should have been Zach Winters walking around hairless, but instead it was poor Paul.
Well, I can see Paul Moonshine bringing up a good point. If it was not a licensed barber, if it was not a licensed barber and or, you know, running amok, then I think Paul Moonshine has a good shot at a settlement. Yes.
Well, you know, I used to manage Zach Winters years ago. I can confirm he is not a licensed barber.
Oh, all right. Then I think maybe Paul Moonshine might be coming into a little bit of money, or maybe a free dinner or at the concession stand at Blue Collar Wrestling. Free dinner, like chicken fried steak. Yes, at least.
You think that's what the judge will award him, huh?
I think so. Have you tried their chicken fried steak? It's pretty good. Yes.
I have heard that it is, in fact. Now, QT also on that show this past Sunday, NWA Blue Collar, Cousin Jameson continued his winning ways against the One Ace Jack. What were your thoughts of the One Ace Jack falling to the hands of one Cousin Jameson?
Well, I got to tell you, Sign Guy, there's a reason Cousin Jameson is ranked this week in Turnbuckle Turmoil's 9 3/8 Northwest Wrestler Rankings that is posted for the second time on Total Dudes' Facebook page.
Indeed it is. When are you going to post this on Zane Paisley's Facebook page? That's what he's getting at.
Oh, I haven't heard that Zane Paisley wants a 9 7/8 published. This is the first time I've heard about this.
He's feeling a little bit hurt in his small intestine. He's been overlooked.
All right, I'm going to mark that down. Post next week's 9 7/8 to Zane Paisley's Facebook page. Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. And also this past Sunday, QT, the return at BCW of the role models.
Well, they certainly are role models. They are known for their clean living and staying off Burnside. Burnside, yes.
So you're saying they're the opposite of the Moonshiners whom they faced?
Yes, that's true. Although, I think socially the Moonshiners can't quite help themselves. Yes.
Well, you know, you got a guy like Paul running things. Trouble finds you.
That's true. Yes. I got to tell you, Sign Guy, that ref did find some trouble, in that match with Mike Orlando and the God King. I encourage all our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners to look up that video and freeze the frame at the 20:03 mark. Yes.
Absolutely. Now, QT, we got just a little bit of time left, so I'm going to wrap this thing up nice and neat. If you're looking for some wrestling, lots going on this week, some big-time shows all over the map, find yourself some local wrestling, go support it, and if you get the chance, go see the elite athlete, Mike Orlando. He's very, very good. And we will talk to you Sunday afternoon. Sunday we have Lou Crank out of the great state of Michigan as our guest. So we will talk to you Sunday afternoon.